ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Read from Srimad Bhagavatam 4, Canto 26, Chapter, Text 6. Tirteshu pratitrishteshu Racha medyam pashunvane Yavat artam alam lupto Anyat iti niyam yate. Translation purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Gijaya. If a king is too attracted to eating flesh, he may, according to the directions of the revealed scriptures on sacrificial performances, go to the forest and kill some animals that are recommended for killing. One is not allowed to kill animals unnecessarily or without restrictions. The Vedas regulate animal killing to stop the extravagance of foolish men influenced by the modes of passion and ignorance. Purport. The question may be raised why a living being should be restricted in sense gratification. If a king, to learn how to kill, may go to the forest and kill animals, why should a living entity who has been given senses not be allowed unrestricted sense gratification? At the present moment, this argument is put forward even by so-called swamis and yogis who publicly say that because we have senses, we must satisfy them by sense gratification. These foolish swamis and yogis, however, do not know the injunction of Shastra. Indeed, sometimes these rascals come out to defy the Shastras. They even publicly announce that there should be no more Shastras, no more books. Just come to me, they say, and I shall touch you, and you will become immediately spiritually advanced. Because the demoniac people want to be cheated, so many cheaters are present to cheat them. At the present moment, in this age of Kali Yuga, the entire human society has become an assembly of cheaters and cheated. For this reason, the Vedic scriptures have given us the proper directions for sense gratification. Everyone is inclined in this age to eat meat and fish, drink liquor, and indulge in sex life, but according to the Vedic injunctions, sex is allowed only in marriage. Meat eating is allowed only when the animal is killed and offered before the goddess Kali, and intoxication is allowed only in a restricted way. In this verse, the word niyamyate indicates that all these things, namely animal killing, intoxication, and sex, should be regulated. Regulations are meant for human beings, not for animals. The traffic regulations on the street telling people to keep to the right or the left are meant for human beings, not for animals. If an animal violates such a law, he is never punished, but a human being is punished. The Vedas are not meant for the animals, but for the understanding of human society. A person who indiscriminately violates the rules and regulations given by the Vedas is liable to be punished. One should therefore not enjoy his senses according to the lusty desires, but should restrict himself according to the regulative principles given in the Vedas. If a king is allowed to hunt in the forest, it is not for his sense gratification. We cannot simply experiment in the art of killing. If a king, being afraid to meet rogues and thieves, kills poor animals and eats their flesh comfortably at home, he must lose his position. Because in this age, kings have such demoniac propensities, monarchy is abolished by the laws of nature in every country. People have become so degraded in this age that on the one hand they restrict polygamy and on the other hand they hunt for women in so many ways. Many business concerns publicly advertise that topless girls are available in this club or in that job. Thus, women have become instruments of sense enjoyment in modern society. The Vedas enjoin, however, that if a man has the propensity to enjoy more than one wife, as is sometimes the propensity for men in the higher social order, such as the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, and even sometimes the Shudras, he is allowed to marry more than one wife. Marriage means taking complete charge of a woman and living peacefully without debauchery. At the present moment, however, debauchery is unrestricted. Nonetheless, society makes a law that one should not marry more than one wife. This is typical of a demoniac society. Tirteshu pratitrishteshu raja medyan pashun vane yavat artam alam luto hanyat iti niyamyate. If a king is too attracted to eating flesh, he may, according to the directions of the revealed scriptures on sacrificial performances, go to the forest and kill some animals that are recommended for killing. One is not allowed to kill animals unnecessarily or without restrictions. The Vedas regulate animal killing to stop the extravagance of foolish men influenced by the modes of passion and ignorance. So, the chapter is continuing. Narada reveals himself to Prachinibari. Prachinibari is very attached king, very much attached, not like nowadays kings attached just for sense gratification, for their own purpose, whimsically, without following scriptures. Because he was a Vedic king, so he followed some instruction of Vedas from the fruitive part of the Vedas, Karma Kandya section, where there are descriptions of killing even an animal for sacrifice, or that a king, according to his occupation, can go to the forest to hunt for the sake of training himself as a kshatriya. So, because a kshatriya should not unnecessarily go in war to train his weapons and his qualification, but he can do it in the forest to hunt certain animals there, wild animals, not the cows. Wild buffaloes, for example. Tigers, like that. Even rabbits sometimes, but it should be wild animals. He can kill them as an exercise. That was prominent in previous days in India and all over the world like that. But nowadays it's become abused, and the kings or royal classes or high society classes, they go hunting. Just to have a nice adventure for their own sense pleasure, having their women, alcohol, and all kinds of things with them to have a festival or nice feast and be happy, creating suffering to others for increasement of their own happiness. So Vaishnavas, they feel very compassion for such people. Even Vedic followers, like this Prachinibari, actually he was trained to kill animals for the purpose of sacrifice. There are certain sacrifices for worshipping Kali, but it doesn't look that Prachinibari was worshipping Kali, but that he offered sacrifice of some flesh to the forefathers, Pitri Yagya. In Kali Yuga, this is forbidden, this act to kill animal or offer flesh or meat to the forefathers. Five things are forbidden: Ashwamedha, Gavalambyam, Sanyasam Palapaitrikam, Devarena Sutopatim. These five things are forbidden. Ashwamedha means horse sacrifice, and Gomedha, cow sacrifice. Then sannyas, especially just for the sake of sannyas, for your own satisfaction or deliverance. It's not necessarily, you can peacefully sit down in any place and chant Hare Krishna. It's not need for sannyas. Like when Lord Chaitanya was in South India, one Grihastha became very attracted to him and wanted to follow Lord Chaitanya and give up his village, his occupation and his family life and join Lord Chaitanya traveling in South India. But Lord Chaitanya stopped him, forbid him and told him, no, it's not necessarily that everyone has to follow sannyas, renounce everything. Just stay in your home, in your village, and become Krishna conscious. Chant Hare Krishna with your family members, with your village people, neighbors like that. And be happy. Offer everything to Krishna. By your own example, become guru. There this famous verse was quoted or cited by Lord Chaitanya. Kipa vipra, kipa nyasi, shudra kenanoi, ye Krishna tatva veta. Say guru hoy. Ultimately, it doesn't matter who you are. If you're a vipra, learned sage or brahmana, kipa nyasi, if you're a sannyasi, or a shudra, or a grihastha, everyone is encouraged by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to try to understand the injunction given by the Vedas, who are actually spoken by the Lord himself. That means try to understand Krishna, ye Krishna tatva veta. Understand Krishna tatva, his intrude, not as a hallucination or some idea, but try to understand Krishna in truth by hearing from proper authority, Guru Parampara, and in this way become a teacher yourself, either Vatma Pratashaka Guru, Shiksha Guru, or Diksha Guru, and in this way helping your countrymen, your neighbors, to become uplifted, purified in Krishna consciousness and make their life perfect. So Lord Chaitanya didn't encourage sannyas for everyone, so it was only meant for those who actually had a purpose in preaching, who want to go freely, go around and preach and spread Krishna consciousness. But sannyas also needs grihasthas, who are supporting them, who are supporting the preaching mission, who are practically the background and the support of a Krishna conscious society or a missionary society. So therefore the grihastha is very important, that they also participate in the preaching or in supporting the preachers, or directly also take part in preaching. It's not necessarily to travel all the time everywhere around the world. The sannyasis can do that because they're free, like the birds, can fly around and travel if they like. Not everyone is inclined. Maybe some they like also to stay in a solitary place or beach in one place. So there are different kind of sannyasis. Pariratchakacharyas who travel, and those who are more into bhajan or into maybe helping more the devotees inside who've joined Krishna consciousness to help them to make further progress. Ultimately, everyone is encouraged to follow Lord Chaitanya's instruction to spread Krishna consciousness and make people happy in Krishna consciousness without consideration, I'm a Brahmana, I'm a Kshatriya, I'm a Shudra, or I'm man, I'm old, I'm young, I'm capable or I'm incapable, I'm a sannyasi, I'm a brahmachari, or he's a grihastha. Everyone was encouraged. Actually, most of Lord Chaitanya's followers were grihastas. Only very few, the senior ones, were sannyasis. They are considered the root of the Lord Chaitanya's tree, the sannyasis. They're the root. Lord Chaitanya, he was the gardener, Mali. Hindi, Sanskrit, Bengali, Mali or Mala, right? Mali? So, he's the gardener. Lord Chaitanya was the gardener of the Sankirtan tree. He became the trunk himself. He became the main trunk himself. Nityananda, he was another branch of this big tree. And Advaita Acharya, another branch of this tree. Gadadhar Pandit was another branch of the tree. And there were so many sub-branches and branches of the sub-branches. And in this way, the glorious tree of Lord Chaitanya was spreading all over the world. And Lord Chaitanya, he encouraged and advised everyone who are part and parcel or connected with this tree. That means the main branches, the branches of the sub-branches and the sub-sub-branches. He requested them all, to take up these missionary activities for spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. This was Lord Chaitanya's advice. Parate bhumite hoilemanusa chamachara chamasate takarikara para upakara. Do welfare work para upakara for others, not only for your own benefit. Don't be a kripana. Don't be miser. Those who only want to liberate and enjoy for themselves either a spiritual process or also materially, they're actually more or less kripana. The materialists are complete kripanas because they only think about how to enjoy. But Lord Chaitanya, Yuga Avatar, he gave us the process how to sacrifice our life in Sankirtan mission, in glorifying the Lord, in company of devotees, and and also going all over the world, traveling wherever you can, wherever you go, you meet whomever you meet, give them Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada was even ready and even told some of his preachers, in case there's nothing to eat in this country where you preach, in this Prabhupada Desh, you can even eat meat. Of course, Prabhupada never ate the meat himself. Although he went to the West, and Indian fellows that advised him, don't go to the West because there are only meat eaters there. They're not following any rules and regulations. Them lechas and yavanas, don't go to this country. We will be lost. We will be frustrated. What you will eat there? What you will eat? But Swami went, Prabhupada went, despite that everyone discouraged him, he went. He was even ready, because Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Singha Guru, he was so strong, and he advised his disciples, just go to preach by any means. That's the Yukta Vairagya principle. To spread Krishna consciousness, that's the greatest welfare activity. To deliver your forefathers, they're already dead. You can offer them meat, but in Kali Yuga it's forbidden. It's the fifth thing, forbidden. Sannyas, and then forefather, offering meat to the forefathers. And the fifth thing is having a son from the brother, the brother, in case the, somebody is married and you are not capable to get a child, then your brother can do it instead of you. And then it will be still your son. But these five things are forbidden in Kali Yuga. And therefore, point was, one should not think about how to deliver the forefathers, how to just doing the good externally to please everyone in the material society, that everyone feels well and good and wellness. I'm scratching your back, that you can scratch my back. This is actually not welfare activity. This is just pacifying and helping each other, you know, to prolong our stay here in this material world. The reality is that in this material world is a dangerous place, is difficulties and dangers at every step. Patam yat vipatam natesham. On every step there are dangers. And also Krishna tells in the Bhagavad Gita, it is tu kalayama shashvatam, it is very temporary and miserable place. So one should try, especially in the human form of life, we should try not to prolong our stay here in this material world, even in a very nice human body and in a nice materialistic civilization and circumstances. We should not try to prolong it. Then if you try to prolong it, who knows what will be the next life or what will be the future. In this life even, you can be miserable. One day you maybe become a multimillionaire or even milliardaire by lotto or toto, by gambling. You can become so rich or by speculation nowadays with money. Even on virtual platform, you can make a fortune. But the same people, you know, they think, I'm rich now, so I can spend money everywhere. But in any time, in one day, you know, they finish, everything collapses. All your bank papers, you know, collapse. Like it happened, you know, many times, even in our time now. Especially in our time, it collapses, you know, and you have nothing anymore. You even have to sell and give everything, you know. You lose everything, your house, your property, everything, you know, just to pay back the debt, you know, because you become indebted. And people are not learning from that. Although they go always, they have so much sufficient experiences, how materialistic lifestyle is leads to misery. We don't learn, not by our own experience, not by the teachings of others, and not by a mixture of both. We're going on chewing the jute again and again. And the Vaishnava, he cannot tolerate this situation, like Narada Muni. He felt very compassionate to this king, you know. Oh, he's a king now. And he is a living entity, fortunate living entity, who God received a human body, who took birth in a human civilization, in a nice country, Bharatvarsha, in a royal family. But he is misusing all this, you know. His gates, nine gates, the city of nine gates, he's misusing it, because he's driven not by what. There are three flags on that city. And he also bears these three flags on his chariot. The Triguna Mayi. One is a golden flag, another one is a silver flag, another one is an iron flag. Goodness, passion, ignorance. But instead that he cultivates the mode of goodness, he cultivates mode of passion, and ultimately passion ends in ignorance. Passion forces you to consume more than necessarily. Nyamagraha. That's Rupa Goswami. The six principles were destroying devotional service One of them is nyamagraha. That means over endeavoring, overeating. Over endeavoring. Sila Bhaktivinoda Thakura says nyamagraha doesn't only mean overeating. It also means over collecting, over endeavoring for something very difficult to achieve. So people nowadays, they're over endeavor in so many things, and therefore they become exhausted in Kali Yuga. Mandasumanda matayo manda bhagya hi upadritaha. So this Kali Yuga, people are too much unregulated, too much over endeavoring. They're actually forced, because they took shelter in this material world. If the living entity takes shelter in material world, then he is forced by the guna, according to his past misdeeds or life, either goodness or pious or impious activities. He becomes forced either by goodness, passion or ignorance. But nowadays in Kali Yuga, people mostly are forced by passion and ignorance, and ultimately becomes more and more ignorance. And activities in ignorance lead in misery. Activities in goodness, they're looking very nice in the beginning. They seem to be very nice, palatable, very tasty, very good. I feel good. But then after some time, it becomes miserable, ends miserable, you know. And activities in the mode of goodness at the beginning may be painful, difficulty, but in the end it leads to the supreme joy. But people are not interested in goodness. If people see somebody more in goodness, they become very much shaking and think fanatic. How can one live like that? Without following, I would say not eating meat, fish, eggs, not going, only married with one wife, not taking others' wives or other women, going to other women, the prostitutes, or going out in clubs, you know, to enjoy there, you know, with others, drinking some alcohol and smoking, So people are forced, you know, to accept this principle because of social pressure. Because of social pressure. And if somebody is not following this, you know, they think he's a loser. He's a loser. He's not capable to enjoy like we. We are the great enjoyers. Therefore you should learn from us. And as Prabhupada is pointing out in the Purva, there's even gurus, in modern age gurus, who say, you know, you don't have to follow Shastra, don't follow these old scriptures, Puranas like that, you know. This is just mythology, this is old things, you know. Just follow me. I give you some wonderful mantra, I'm touching you and infusing in you my spiritual Shakti, and empower you, and so in this way you become perfect. And for that you just have to give him a few thousand of dollars donation, so that he infuse energy in you. And he will tell you, don't follow any scriptures, just follow me. There are such yogis and gurus in modern age, but Prabhupada called them, you know, they're not gurus, they're uruks. Because they're cheating. They're cheating in name of religion, in name of giving people something in a very cheap way. Everyone wants to be top enjoyer. So the yogi nowadays or gurus give them sense gratification. Yes, you want to have sense gratification. I will show you how you can enjoy better. You know, just follow me. You don't need shastra. But Krishna tells in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, In the 16th chapter, conclusion of demoniac qualities. Where is it? Das war just. Oh, not this one. Here. Second last verse. Yak shastra vidim utsricha vartate kama karataha nasasidim abapnoti nasukam na paramgatim. He will discharge scriptural injunctions and acts according to his own whims, attains neither perfection nor happiness nor the supreme destination. Purport Prabhupada says, as described before, the Shastra Vidhi, or the direction of the Shastra, is given to the different castes and orders of human society. Everyone is expected to follow these rules and regulations, even Shudra. If one does not follow them and acts whimsically according to his lust, greed and desire, then he never will be perfect in this life. In other words, a man may theoretically know all these things, but if he does not apply them in his own life, then he is to be known as the lowest of mankind. In the human form of life, a living entity is expected to be the same expected to be sane and to follow the regulations given for elevating his life to the highest platform. But if he does not follow them, then he degrades himself. But even if he follows the rules and regulations and moral principles and ultimately does not come to the stage of understanding the Supreme Lord, then all his knowledge becomes spoiled. And even if he accepts the existence of God, if he does not engage himself in the service of the Lord, his attempts are spoiled. Therefore, one should gradually rise himself to the platform of Krishna consciousness and devotional service. It is then and there that he can attain the highest perfectional stage, not otherwise. The word karma karata is very significant. A person who knowingly violates the rules acts in lust. He knows that it is forbidden, but still he acts. This is called acting whimsically. He knows that this should be done, but still he does not do it. Therefore, he is called whimsical. Such persons are destined to be condemned by the Supreme Lord. Such persons cannot have the perfection which is meant for the human life. Human life is especially meant for purifying one's existence, and one who does not follow the rules and regulations cannot purify himself, nor can he attain the real stage of happiness. So this makes very clear of Gita here and purport by Srila Prabhupada that even Shudra has to follow Shastra. It's not that some can follow and others cannot follow. Therefore, Vedas give injunctions for everyone to follow. And those who don't follow, they're actually outcast. They're untouchable. They don't follow any Shastric injunctions, no rules and regulations. So, also as Vaishnavas, we have to learn from this, to follow these regulations, become faithful. Beginning maybe the faith is a little weak, Komala Shraddha, but by good association with devotees who are fixed in devotional service, Komala Shraddha can become strengthened in Trita Shraddha, so that our determination becomes fixed. The living entity who is actually Pura, Puranjana, he is embodied in this city of the nine gates, and he is very near with, he finds ultimately his wife, intelligence. Because intelligence is the most next to the soul. And he has this beautiful strong city, with the nine flags, with the three flags. And these three, according to, his whims and according to the drive of the nature, he will use some of these flags and go in certain direction and follow certain kind of activities. So he has also this chariot. He's not happy just by himself in his beautiful city with the nice parks and avenues and nice arrangements, house and palace and sofas and all kinds of equipment, you know, to enjoy. He's not happy. He needs to go somewhere. Pranati has 9 gates. We have 2 eyes, we have ears, we have mouth, we have genital, we have rectum. So in this way, the nostrils, so 9 gates. And the living entity, he, conditioned soul, living entity, is not happy in this city of the 9 gates with his beautiful wife, the intelligence, and with the 5-footed snake, who are the pranas and different life forces, energies in the body, who maintain the body, protecting the body that of injuries, or I would say attacks. He has also many servants, the senses, 10 senses, he has the mind. So he's not happy just with this wonderful arrangement. He needs to go to hunt somewhere. And for that, inside you cannot hunt. At home you cannot hunt, you know. Right? If you're at home, you cannot hunt because your wife will not your family and all your arrangement think you are crazy. You want to hunt in your own home, shooting around here? That's ridiculous. That's childish. If you're as an adult, grown-up man, you know, is hunting in your own home. Therefore, the Puranchana thinks, you know, I have to go out of this city, of the 9 gates, and using some of these gates. Because I have this gate not for nothing. These gates are here for something. We should use them, otherwise they become overgrown by, grass and fall apart, you know. It has to be maintained. And this is naturally for a human being, you know, to maintain the body with the 9 gates. It's a natural instinct to keep the body healthy and with all the senses and use them in a proper way, even in an improper way. Anyone is forced, Krishna, in the 3rd chapter Gita, he says everyone is forced to act according to his nature. We cannot stop to act, even for a moment. So we have to act. But we have to learn how to act under direction of Shastra, not whimsical nature or misguided nature. Misguided, because in Kali Yuga, people are misguided. They're less intelligent. Why they become less intelligent? Because the intelligence, it's very subtle. But if we neglect the intelligence, the intelligence become crippled. Like our body, you know, if we don't take care for the body properly, some of the muscles become invisible. They shrink, right? Muscles shrink. People nowadays, they give so much money, you know, for gyms, gymnastic and exercises, you know, because they want to strengthen and to manifest these lost muscles again. But we neglected for so many years. So they go, it's a big boom now, big trend, you know, to go to these gymnastic studios to train your body to become big, strong. But, you know, the intelligent, we ignore. Of course, the people consider themselves very, very intelligent because they have certain knowledge, because reading newspaper, watching the one-eyed guru, the TV, who gives them all kinds of information, actually false information. Not the truth. We think we see the truth. Americans were on the moon, for example, you know, we have seen the pictures. But you, who can give you the guarantee? So we are cheated in so many ways, that the media can tell you something what we consider the truth, that is actually half true or not true at all. It's cheating. And in this material world, especially in Kali Yuga, everyone is cheater or be cheated. And those who become cheated all the time ultimately are forced also to become cheaters. Therefore, we're in a big catastrophic situation. Everywhere in the world now, you cannot become successful without becoming a clever cheater. Some are clever cheaters and some are foolish cheaters. And if you only use your intelligence and not to cheat and to misguide others, then and become materially successful, this is not a sign of intelligence. Sign of intelligence is described in Bhagavatam. Krishna Vanam Dvisha Krishnam Sangopangasta Parshadam Yagyai Sankitan Prayar Yachantihi Sumedasa. Another word for intelligence is Meda, Medhaya. So Sumeda, those who are very intelligent in Kali Yuga, they use their intelligence or their human form of life, the energy in the Sankhita movement to chant the holy name. This is Lord Chaitanya. Therefore he came, Krishna came as Lord Chaitanya to give us this holy name, give us the Sankhitan. And we can become fortunate if we use intelligence, our intelligence, following in the example and the sampradaya or the family, sampradaya from Lord Chaitanya, who gave this example, how to become happy by engaging everything in Krishna's service, in the Sankhita movement. So this is Sumedasa. And Shukadev Goswami, he encourages ultimately King Parikshit and everyone who reads Bhagavatam. He says, Akama sarva kamo va moksha kamo dharati tivrena bhakti yogena yacheta purusham param. He says, if you are now full of kama, full sarva kama, full of lusty desires and greedy for so many things, or if you have no desire at all, akama, or if you have a desire for liberation, moksha kama, it doesn't matter. If you are intelligent, prompt-minded intelligence, you know, then you will yachita purusham param. You will worship Lord Krishna, the Supreme Purusha. In the material world, we all think we are Purusha, but actually there's only one Purusha. Govindam Adi Purusham, Tamam Vajami. In fact, we are Prakriti. We are subordinate. We are enjoyed. We are to be enjoyed by the Purusha. But our problem is, we are forced by Purusha Bhava, demoniac. I'm the enjoyer. I'm the doer. This is I. This is I, and this is mine. So we are completely acting as a big enjoyer. And all the enjoyers, the kings and the big rulers in this world, they consider themselves the biggest enjoyer. But for what they are doing? Ultimately, they go just also, if you are now Shudra or a poor man or a rich man or whatever you are, they do all the same thing. They all go to the lower part, you know, hunting. Hunting for something very insignificant, you know, for animal flesh. To get killing animals, you know, just to get some flesh. They go to the forest. Now, of course, they don't have to go to the forest anymore. They're opening slaughterhouses and they supply you with all the meat. It's simple. And people don't even think, you know, from where it comes from. How much cruelty, how much suffering these animals have to go through. That they're also living entities. But Christianity and all over the world, people think animal has no soul. I heard this again and again from Prabhupada when he met some priests and some bishops and leaders of church in the West. Prabhupada tried to compassionately and patiently try to explain that the animal has also soul, but that these Christian leaders, you know, they always say everyone has the same conclusion. always the same slogan. No animal has no soul. Animal has no soul. So what to tell? But they have no proof. Krishna says in the Gita, souls are everywhere. Sarva gataha. Souls are everywhere. And it's not a higher and lower soul. So the souls are there. And therefore, everyone who is killing unnecessarily, he actually becomes punished by the laws of nature. Even Tolstoy, in Russian writer, very famous, he told, as long there are slaughterhouses, as long there are battlefields. So people will kill themselves as a reaction. Therefore, there's always smaller or bigger wars in this world. People are killing them, slaughtering themselves. So we should not misuse our position or our life, to engage in lower activities, what the animals are doing. Because the nature's law is jiva jivasya jivanam. One living entity lives from another living entity. But the human being should be intelligent enough, therefore stay always with the intelligence. Never leave your intelligence and go hunting, just driven by your mind and the senses. And leave the intelligence, become crippled, She's your wife. She's your wife, the intelligence. So if you leave your intelligence and listen only to the mind and to your senses, who are uncontrollable like animals, wild animals, you're in lost position. And your nice wife becomes crippled, she becomes frustrated. And then when you come home, nothing is arranged. You maybe become successful hunter. Collecting so many animals, so much money, much fame. But ultimately when you come home to your home place, everything there, it's dead. There's no warm climate, no love, no affection. Everything is just like cold, because intelligence is needed. So we need always to stay with intelligence, cultivate intelligence. Therefore Krishna, he gives us Bhagavad Gita, and he tells us we can understand and worship him by our intelligence. Buddhi yoga. So we have to use our intelligence, not leave intelligence at home and go just with your mind and senses everywhere to become playboy and try to become the enjoyer and the exploiter of everything, and thinking you are the lord of the world and I can enjoy and manipulate everything, I have the power for it. Then we become ultimately we are the losers. Like King Puranjana, he became loser ultimately. Because he was too much attracted to materialistic lifestyle in the name of some regulations of the scriptures. But he went too far. He became too much extreme. Too much, first of all, too much hunting unnecessarily. And then in the end, even too much sex life, too much attachment to the wife, to the children, to his home. So he became very, very much completely, bodily concentrated. And he lost his whole knowledge about his own self-interest, to become Krishna conscious or self-realized in spiritual activities and attain a higher destination. So one has to learn from this story from Puranjana how not to entangle ourselves, but to listen to Guru Narada Muni and the disciplic succession. They're guiding us. They give us valuable knowledge. And this knowledge is our only hope to apply it in our life and then share it with others, whoever you meet and wherever you go, you know. This is our duty. This is our duty. If you have knowledge, but you don't share it and give it to others, then you're a kripana. And you will lose the knowledge. Because knowledge is like, a cup, where there are holes in it, and you pour knowledge in it, but if you don't spread it, if you don't share it with others, what will happen? Knowledge will go out. You will lose it, you will forget. Ultimately, whatever we learn, we forget. That's nature of human life, of life in general. It's one of the rules of life. Ultimately, whatever you learn, you will forget. And therefore, if you learn it, or if you know something, but you don't share it with others, we don't teach it, you know. Ultimately, you will feel whole, empty, because everything will seek her out. Everything will go out. And then you have nothing in it. And then you are really poor. Then you are really poor situation. Ultimately, we may all forget something. Even that what we know. Therefore, it's important, you know, that we share it and teach it. And that we have nice devotees around us. That in case we forget, they can remember us. They can remind us about Krishna. About the supreme goal of life. Now in the beginning you may be, now you have opportunity that you can teach either your near and dear ones, your wife, your children, or your friends, your family members, or whatever, or even according to a capacity, a big amount of people you can train. And ultimately, the training will come back to you, that in case you come to the stage where you forget, and you need help, and inspiration, they will come to you and will inspire you, and give you, remembrance about Krishna. And Krishna himself will become very happy if you share Krishna consciousness with others, because he himself, in case you forget, will also remind you in the time of death or in time of difficulties from within. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantite. So Krishna will give you the intelligence how you will come to him. But we should not live in ignorance consciously or in passion. Because if we become very proud on this flag of ignorance and passion, you know, it is a miserable situation. It's not a glory. The glory is the jayati. The glory or victory is if we can conquer birth and death and go back home, back to Krishna. This is the real victory. And this is only attained by Vishuddha Sattva. To come to the platform of Shuddha, goodness, and ultimately Vishuddha. Because Krishna consciousness is ultimately only understood on the platform of Vishuddha Sattvam. Sattvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shaptitam. So, there are different persons who may go to the forest. Some who is in ignorance, he goes in the forest, he only sees, where is an animal where I can kill? If a passionate person goes to the forest, he only thinks, oh, it would be nice if I would have a nice woman now with me that I can enjoy here in this nice forest. If you are a goodness person, you think, how nice this forest, so many nice flowers, birds, so nice smell, fragrance, nice air. Oh, it's such a beautiful place. And all three of them cannot remember Krishna. But a devotee, if he goes to the forest, He think, oh, how wonderful Krishna is. He created all this beautiful nature. And if this nature is already so beautiful, how beautiful Krishna must be. So this is devotee. Therefore we have to learn according to Shastra and Guru and Sadhu how to see the world in relation with Krishna. In any circumstances. Even in the forest. Even in the forest. Don't become victim of mind and misguided intelligence and senses and those who have uncontrolled senses. You have to associate with the sadhu, not with asadhu. Asat sankat yaga. We have to give up all these unfavorable things and only associate with devotees. And if you associate with devotees, mahatsevam tvaram ahor vimukte, if you become attached to the devotee and associate with mahat, my great devotee, it will lead to liberation. It will open the gateway to the spiritual world. Tamo dvaram yoshitam sangi sangam. But if you follow the wrong path of the ignorant person, of the propaganda of 99.9% of this, what is going on in this world, we go to hellish conditions. But if we are very happy that we are in Prabhupada's family, in Vaishnava family, in the Achyuta, Prabhupada called it Achyuta Gotram, infallible family line. Achyuta Gotram. So we are very happy to be in Achyuta Gotram, not in the fallible one. And we have to learn how to keep together like a family. Although we are not blood related, we have to learn how to come somehow closer and help each other in this Krishna conscious process, in this life. This is needed. Therefore, in previously, it was always, the Vaishnavas always took care, you know, that the Vaishnavas were married. That a Vaishnava was married, that he has wife, that he had children, because he wanted to look or care that this knowledge of Krishna consciousness will pass on generation after generation. Here in Vrindavan, we can see that. It functions even today. Radha Raman, it's a big family. Radha Raman is worshipped since so many years, hundreds of years, and very dedicated. And many temples, they have this bloodline of family from Goswami line, you know. And they pass on. Even many of Lord Chaitanya's followers also, they had bloodline. And therefore, even some of them, they had, like Srinivas Acharya, had two wives. First wife, I think, had no children. Therefore, his disciples requested Srinivas Acharya, marry another wife, you know, that you can have children to make your the heritage of your knowledge going on for the next generation, that they can continue with this process. Therefore, many Vaishnavas, they were married, so that in the bloodline, this Krishna consciousness would go on. But then later on, somehow other, especially today, bloodline is very rarely available, and so therefore, Achyuta Gotram became more prominent. But now as Achyuta Gotram, you also have to understand this family. It's actually also like a family, and not become like zombie or like impersonal. Give opportunity to us and to our fellows, because it's very rare that devotees find each other and can do something together. It's very great mercy, and we should appreciate that and keep together as a family and in and try to please Srila Prabhupada, because Prabhupada told we can please him the most if he somehow or other keep this family business or this Krishna consciousness going on in love and friendship towards each other, cooperating with each other in spreading this wonderful, glorious mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is our heritage. And this we have to protect. And we have to cultivate it. And not become influenced by modern propaganda of modern Vaishnavism. More free Vaishnavism. We have to stay to the principle given by our Acharya and keep going with this business, distributing production and distributing books and teaching devotees, training devotees, so that they also can become trained in Krishna consciousness, in spreading Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada told, temples are not made for eating and sleeping. And they're meant to train our devotees, like soldiers, to become devotees of Krishna, to understand his philosophy, become strong through sadhana, and then ultimately go out and spread Krishna consciousness for the sake of others. So this is Prabhupada's desire, and that's how we can please him even today. We don't have to invent new things, only keep going with this thing and become more realized ourselves, like Srinivasacharya and many great acharyas. They were not only great preachers and book distributors and very charitable, sharing Krishna consciousness with others and giving Krishna consciousness to others. They were also greatly realized themselves. They had direct darshan of Radha Krishna, took part in their leela in the spiritual world even. There are so many stories of Srinivasacharya and many of these great devotees, you know. And they were grihasthas, but they had so much experience, spiritual experience and realizations. And therefore they could attract and guide also others. And they became got great mercy to spread. Lord Chaitanya even prophesied that Srinivasacharya will come and will distribute the books of the Goswamis, of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, Chaitanya Charitamrita, of Jiva Goswami's books, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami's books. So Lord Chaitanya, he is actually the inaugurator of the book distribution mission. He prophesied after his leaving, that very soon Srinivasacharya will come, and many other great devotees will come, Narottam Das Thakur. And he empowered all the six Goswamis to preach, writing books, what later on should be distributed. So this is our family business. It came handed down from generation after generation. And it's on our hand. We are very fortunate if we somehow or other can participate in it, either directly or in supporting it or in encouraging devotees, inspiring devotees to do that. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sorry, I think a little late. No time for questions. Hare Krishna.